Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Rosemary Cope with WorkLife Connections. I'm here today with Shayna Farfel. Shayna is a board-certified family nurse practitioner who is a member of the occupational health practice here at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. She received a Bachelor and Master of Science in Nursing from Johns Hopkins University and a Bachelor of Science in Biology from the College of William and Mary. March is National Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and for this Wellcast, we're making it personal. Keeping loved ones near us is something we should never take for granted. We all share such important parts in another's lives, so we all need to take the time to have meaningful conversations about each other's health. Shayna, who needs to have a colonoscopy, and why is that important?
I just want to give a quick little primer on what colorectal cancer is. This is a cancer that starts growing either in the large intestine, also known as the colon, or the rectum. It's a highly prevalent cancer with high rates of morbidity and mortality. And according to the American Cancer Society, colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer diagnosed in both men and women in the U.S. That's excluding skin cancer. It's also the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S. Unlike other forms of cancer, we do have the ability to screen individuals for early detection of precancerous lesions, which can prevent the development and/or spread of colorectal cancer, greatly reducing rates of serious illness and death. So basically, everyone who has a colon is at risk and should be screened. For most folks, the recommendation to start screening for colon cancer starts at age 50. And generally continues until age 75 if prior screening is up to date, or when life expectancy is 10 years or less. We'll stop screening at that point. Some people may be at increased risk for developing colon cancer if they have a certain genetic syndrome or high-risk family history, such as a first-degree relative who's been diagnosed with colorectal cancer before the age of 50. And so recommendations for those folks may begin earlier, and more frequent screening may be necessary. The thing to remember, though, is it's very important to talk to your primary care provider to see what screening recommendations are best for you.
You know, many of us are really reluctant to talk about this procedure, and it also sends a signal that we're getting older, and that alone can be a difficult topic. What are some things I can say to my own loved ones to encourage them to have a colonoscopy?
You're definitely right. This can be a really tough topic to talk about, and talking about colon cancer can be a taboo subject for a lot of people. But since screening is universal and affects all of us, we should try and make an effort to have more open and transparent discussions so we can break down some of those commonly held misconceptions and barriers to screening. So there's a couple ideas that I have for tips for talking to family members or friends about getting a colonoscopy that may encourage them to get one sooner. The first thing is that with the Affordable Care Act now requires health insurance plans that started on or after September 2010 to cover colorectal cancer screening. So hopefully this protects individuals from incurring large out-of-pocket costs. And again, you'd want to just check with your health insurance plan for specific details. Secondly, as a primary care provider, you know, a lot of people would say to me, well, I'm not having any symptoms. Why do I have to get this testing done? And so my response would be, often early stages of colon cancer in individuals over the age of 50 can be asymptomatic, and so you may not know or may not be having any issues. And so screening can pick up on things a lot sooner and decrease that risk.
Kind of simple, like I hear high blood pressure is a silent killer also.
Exactly.
So I get it checked just to be sure. Same thing.
You may not be having any signs or symptoms, but still recommended to get checked out. A lot of people, it's interesting, actually fear the colon prep even more so than the procedure itself. And I actually have some good news for those folks. There are newer preps out on the market that taste a lot better. They're lower volume. You can even split the prep up into the, you know, taking some the day before and then some the morning of your procedure. So again, I just encourage folks to talk to their gastroenterologists about those options. That can be a lot easier. Last couple of things, you know, it's important to remember colonoscopies are actually fairly quick procedures. They're about 30 minutes with some recovery time afterwards. You're under light sedation, so you don't really remember much, if anything at all. And you don't have to do it for another 10 years after you get it done if everything's normal, and that's a really long time. And, you know, if they were to find something, although screening may be a little bit more frequent than every 10 years, they can remove it on site and not have to schedule you for another appointment. I think the last thing that's really important too, and that a lot of people may not know, is that colonoscopy isn't the only way to screen. So if you would prefer to do another method, there's fecal occult blood tests, so taking a stool sample and looking for blood. There's something called a sigmoidoscopy. There's CT scans that can be used. And really, not any one screening modality is recommended over another. The idea is that you talk to your primary care provider and use shared decision making to find out what's best for your individual preferences and values.
So if I'm going to talk to, say, my mom or my dad or whoever my loved one is over 50, I might say, these are some of the things that I've researched and found out, just what you've been telling us. Mm-hmm. I might be willing to go with you or help you through this the best way I can support you. And sometimes the hype is a lot worse than the actual event.
Exactly.
And so to be a reassuring person is really helpful.
Exactly, exactly.
Can you tell our listeners about ways they can protect their own colon health?
There are lots of good studies out there that have shown that there are a number of factors associated with decreasing risk of colorectal cancer. And so things like eating a diet high in fresh fruits and vegetables and other dietary fibers has been shown to be protective. So fiber-rich foods like split peas, lentils, broccoli, bran cereals, whole wheat pasta, all of that is great stuff. Regular physical activity, we hear it all the time. 150 minutes or more of moderate intensity exercise a week has shown to also decrease your risk of colorectal cancer. And there's some other studies out there that have actually shown some evidence to suggest that aspirin and other anti-inflammatory medications such as ibuprofen can actually be protective against the development of colorectal cancers. But you definitely want to consult with a provider before taking any of those to make sure that they're okay and safe for you. So just a couple things.
Okay, that sounds good and doable.
And totally doable. Yeah, right. Very easy.
Shana, thank you for giving us some great information, some suggestions about this. Thank you all for listening. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu. Or you can use the Contact Us page on our website at www.vumc.org/health-wellness.